Greetings, everybody. This is Shakti, your host, on today's call on entering the wisdom of your sexual cycles. I'm very excited to have with me today Anaya Sophia, who is one most exquisite embodiment of the feminine, coming to us all the way from Europe today. Anaya, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us on this call.
Hi, Shakti. It's so absolutely beautiful to be back with you again.
And for those of you who don't know Anaya, she is somebody that's really worth exploring and having a look at. She's a mystic and an author of many different books and an initiator of sacred marriage. And I just want to mention some of the books that she's written. She's written Womb Wisdom, which is, of course, a theme that we'll be drawing on in the conversation today, Sacred Sexual Union, The Rose Night, Divine Relationships. And the theme that she's speaking about today with us is her remembering of the temple. And I imagine, Anaya, that you will also be drawing on this interview on your deep mystical connection with Mary Magdalene, which I feel so deeply in you. So in our reflections initially on this interview, Anaya said that she would like to share her understanding of the wisdom of the blood mysteries and how to cultivate the ability to hold steady to the Great Mother. And she's also said that she'd like to speak to us about the importance of releasing your blood upon the land and its ability, trust, and love that that brings. So just a very beautiful, juicy offering. And Anaya, maybe if we can begin there with the title, Her Remembering of the Temple. So maybe if you can just share with us what that evokes for you, because I can feel so many different layers of memory and evocation and embodiment that you express through those few words there.
Wow, thank you, Shakti. Well, I don't know, well, I do know about you because we're friends and I follow you, but your listeners out there, what has been coming through for me only in the last year to 18 months is this permission that I'm finally giving myself and little push of encouragement to actually actualize it. And that is to really embody these temple memories and to start living this temple lifestyle and to start opening to other men and women in that energy that I know I'm carrying. It's as if I am complete now with meditating upon it, praying upon it, reading about it, and watching movies of it. Now I simply have to start following without editing or minimizing or exaggerating the absolute wisdom that I know and I know many others are carrying. And so this temple work is now here and it's in the physical form and it's being shared and extended upon. And this is why there is a beautiful union with the blood mysteries, because I believe, because it's what I'm experiencing, this temple work is coming through the wisdom that's in my womb and is guided meticulously by that overriding presence that dwells within the womb. I believe this is what keeps me on what I call the straight and narrow path. Temple work, as we know, has a very powerful sexual field within it. I do not know what kind of work I would be administrating if I didn't have such a rooted and authentic connection with my womb at the driving seat. And that's where we come full circle, because if we cannot handle our blood, if we cannot see it, feel it, smell it, interact with it every month, then there is no way a woman is going to be able to sit in her womb and be guided by the sheer immaculate presence of the temple work. She simply has to become okay with that place and what it does and her invitation every month to be at one with it. I said all of that without inhaling.
Yeah, so powerful, Anaya. And I imagine myself listening to this as a woman who is not familiar with the temple mysteries and thinking, what? She wants me to interact with my blood, like actually touch it, smell it, like yuck. And, you know, saying that with the greatest respect, I know what you're talking about because I know the power of that myself as well. But I would love to have you, maybe just for those who are new to this idea of actually interacting with the blood, just maybe give a little bit of a guidance as to how could a woman maybe begin that process of getting across the shame and the disgust that we have of our blood.
Okay, I'm going to come in on the spiritual angle and then human. So the spiritual angle, again, this is only my opinion. Nothing of what I say is an all-pervading truth. It's just my own discoveries. I believe temple priestesses or ladies who have already been exposed to the temple mysteries in previous lives or ancestral lives placed their mysteries, placed their sacred gifts in their womb for safekeeping. And now is the time to actualize them once again. What a great place to put them. If we have guilt and shame, and we will have guilt and shame, especially in the West, and especially if we've had very religious parents, we will have guilt and shame that simply says, do not go there. Simply, under no circumstances, must you go there and interact with that area unless it's, you know, really essential, really necessary. So we are separated from our sacred gifts. There's a schism in the mind and in the psyche that prevents us from retrieving a massive fragment of our own life force, soul, and embodiment. So that's the spiritual part. The human part, this is your body. These are your monthly cycles, fluctuations, rhythms, and movements. If you are operating with your moon cycle at arm's length, or even doing such things like taking the pill to prevent it from coming because you're having a two-week holiday in the south of France, you are severely impeding your wholeness from becoming who you are. This is a huge part of you, beloved ladies. The womb and its menstrual blood is not just about pregnancy and your monthly cycle. There is so much more going on in this rhythm and this natural feminine cycle. It is a time of you being your most potent, your most creative, your most deep, and your most mystical. It is also probably, for some of us, a time when you're feeling incredibly sensual and sexual. Beloved ladies, it is a powerful time. And I am now at the end of this second phase of life. My menstrual cycle is almost coming to an end. And now, 47 or 46, I can't remember how old I am. Now, I look back and I say to the young ladies, well, those of you mid-cycle, for God's sake, enjoy, and I do mean for God's sake, enjoy, realize, and embody what you are and what it is.
Yeah, and I feel the same. I am also at that point, and it's so interesting coming to hold space for this journey through the menstrual cycle at a time when it's just completed itself, and really looking at this this ritual, this monthly ritual, with that awe, for the very uniquely feminine wisdom that it brings women. And yet while we're in it, we can so easily fall for the stereotypes around menstruation, that do we get irritated because now we can't do what we want to do, or we get emotional. And yet all of that is actually connecting us to our femininity. And it's like you say, right into the, such a beautiful image, right into the womb as the temple where we're keeping our mysteries, right in the very inside of our sexual organs. Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about releasing your blood upon the land. You said that you were going to speak about the importance of that and how that creates stability, trust, and love. Can you say
absolutely
more about that?
Well, when you are blessed to have your own home, and again, that's something I've only begun to experience 3 years ago, actually for the first time in my life, buying a property and having such a tiny bit of land, but it's still a bit of land nevertheless. So now I actually have a place and a space of my own. And so these last 3 years, I have been offering my blood to the garden and all the way around the home. And some of you may or may not realize, throughout the summer months, a lot of people come to stay here. It really is a sanctuary. It's a little mini refuge for those of us on this alchemical path through the initiation of relationships. So I need it. I absolutely need it to be a strong and grounded and, you know, both feet on the ground, earthly residence, where very powerful spiritual transformation takes place. It cannot be a fairy, wafty place or space. It has to be grounded. It has to be melded with the very cliff face that it's perched upon. So what do I have to create that? I have my own blood from the deep innermost center of my feminine being. If there's anything in liquid form that could be more me than me, it's my blood. And so every month, when I can, and it's getting very few and far between now, but when I can, I make a little circle all around the outer perimeters of the house and the tiny little garden that I have. And I simply say, may the grace of the Holy Spirit preside over this place, and may all who enter find healing. And what do I have as a human? Yes, I have my prayers and my meditation, which is very etheric, very energetic, but I also have my red, warm blood that has come from the very center of my body and from the very center of my womb, the throne of my feminine, queenly nobility. And so I give both. I give the spiritual part and I give the earthly embodiment part. But obviously, that's me being me. What about ladies who just simply live in their home? Well, I can tell you one thing, beloved ladies. It would give you a sense of very reliable and dependable protection. And it would unite you with your home in a deeper way that can't be spoken about but will be felt. You will simply feel grounded, anchored, stable, and married, actually. Married to your home and the land that it sits upon. And another beautiful visual. If I could just give you this visual, Shakti, a dear friend of mine, Lama from Australia, she said, can you imagine how the priestesses in the temple would all offer their blood every month to the presidence of the indwelling mystery of the temple. And I went, oh my goodness. You wouldn't even have to do anything inside of the temple. The fact that many ladies are doing that every month, That is the temple. That is the light that heals and comforts.
Beautiful. I just get this feeling when you speak like that, that the blood is some kind of embodied prayer. Yeah,
Yes.
That is our, it's really bringing our divinity into our embodiment in a deep bow of humility, but also in the honoring of this body, right down to our blood as being an embodiment of the divine.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the honoring of us being female.
Yes.
This cannot go unnoticed. Every month, the female bleeds. And to flush it down the toilet mindlessly or heartlessly, I just want to say, beloved ladies, you know, don't do that. I am quite a direct person, I'm sorry, but please understand what this gift of being woman is, and then grasp it with both hands.
And I have this image when you speak about releasing the blood upon the land, Anaya, that I'd like to offer. When I got my name Shakti, it was at a time when I was living in the wilderness, and because I'd had a vision that I needed to do that, I was literally living in the wilderness in a caravan, and I made an owl out of the clay on the land, and the owl was an image that kind of fitted into my two hands. And every time when I menstruated, very intuitively, I just simply bled over this owl. So I would literally like kneel over the owl and let the blood run over this being that I created out of clay.
Mm-hmm.
And so every month, another level, another layer of my blood infused this owl that for me was a symbol of remembering the wisdom of the priestess, really, you know, that knowing of the sacred essence of the feminine that is pre-patriarchal. And somehow that ceremony was a very sensory embodiment and reminder for me of that, of who I am in that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, when we look at this patriarchal age, all of us, men and women, are so encouraged to be overstimulated, over-distracted, and outward-seeking. You know, we live at the most superficial layers of our being and potential. And things like this ritual that you did, Shakti, with the owl and the bleeding, this takes you deep. Deep, deep, deep into the other part of life, which is the interior worlds. And for us to make this paradigm shift, we simply have to go there. We have to go there in ourselves. Then we have to go there with our partners. And then we will go there and stay there. And then we pass over. That would be fun, especially if you don't mind going there.
I am just so intrigued by your remembering of the temple and your decision so clearly to live in the temple. And I wonder if you can share with us some of what that looks and feels like for you, Anaya. What are the elements, or what are the shifts that you have made? I imagine there is a turning inward that is part of that.
Oh, it's been a mixed bag, Shakti. That's one thing I can share. It's been a mixed bag, especially navigating this journey whilst being in relationship. Now, if I'd have been a single lady, I could have. It feels like I could have done this with on two hands and with a blindfold, you know, whilst hopping. In relationship, it did bring up tremendous terrors and fears because of knowing how deep the temple is going to call me and my beloved into form. This is going to be a deep, deep journey, and we will be beckoned away from that superficial and overstimulated world. You know, identities, self-importance, it's just going to be drawn in and absorbed by the temple. And what made me say yes to it was simply having the repetitive vision of Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene presiding over Yeshua's body before the crucifixion. So I used to have dreams and visions of some kind of interactive interplay going on between those three. And I never really saw Mother Mary as being his mother figure, although she was. But she didn't, in my vision and dream, she didn't act that out. She simply was another high priestess of Isis. So the two of them were priestessing over him in the body. They were handling the body. They were drawing energies in and out of the body. They were working with him as a three to prepare him for this almighty initiation.
Mm.
And when a vision is that strong, and when you love Christ that much, and when you know since you were a little kid that you're on this Christ journey, you simply surrender and just absolutely go with it, because, you know, that Christ energy just keeps coming in the most inappropriate times. Just when you're setting into a normal life, in it rolls again and says, beloved, there's something else. And so I just surrendered, because I've had this secret knowing my whole life that I kind of have agreed to contribute to this, because it's not going to be just me. All I'm doing is offering a contribution, and that is the remembrance of the skills and the holiness in which the skills were administered. You know, this sacred touch, this holy touch, this anointing of the body for men and women.
Beautiful. So is this temple space then that you're finding yourself turning into to live in? This is also a space of sharing and teaching and guiding, from what I understand, from what you're saying now.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. I mean, and it's twofold. There's obviously a part of me that shares this space with others, and with tremendous gusto and courage and confidence, I open the temple space to them where they can find themselves in it, in there. You know, in their own bodies, there is the temple priest or priestess. That's one stage of the journey. That bit's really easy, and I enjoy it very much. Then there's the other part, which is me, my normal, simple, ordinary self that is having a deep and ever-growing relationship with beloved Pete. And this part of me, this part of me is human. This part of me is the only child, is the awkward one that never really did join in with the rest of community. You know, there's a part of me that's awkward, shy, afraid, and nervous of these tremendous sexual and mystical energies. So he's having a field day, because obviously he sees, you know, the one who's extremely confident because she's simply orchestrating the energy. And then there's the other part that is also invited into the temple, and that part is strangely, paradoxically, and gorgeously a little bit afraid of the enormity of it all. But she will do it because she believes It is the Christ force that is inviting this unfolding of life. So that's why it's amazing, because there's a part of me that loves it, there's a part of me that's afraid. And of course, the Mother Peak gets to see everything. He sees the confident one out there doing her thing, and he also sees the one who's a little bit scared in here doing her thing. And so Sacred Masculine gets to view the whole dance.
And when you say that about Pete, I just feel into this experience that I think most women have who are with a male partner, that as we go through the months, and especially around the premenstrual and menstrual time, that aspects of us come to the fore that might be more tender, more emotional, more irrational, and the men in our lives get to experience that. And
yes.
I know so many women will want to try and hide that, or see that as a sign that there's something wrong with being a woman, or how can we just pull our acts together? But then on the other hand, looking at it from a man's perspective, I can just imagine that if there's even just the slightest softening in a woman around this experience of her own lack of control, this time where we just get taken by, it feels to me like just get taken by the Great Mother into the mysteries, that if we even just for a little bit soften into that, then it opens up the light of that place, and that men actually just are in awe of what this female creature is. You know, when he sees that side of her, like I imagine also that I can feel in the way you're speaking about Pete now, that when that tender one, that one that's a little bit afraid, comes out, he just loves and adores that she's there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Much more.
And there he goes in the background, and much more.
Oh, beautiful.
And I also
beautiful to hear that voice again, because it's,
yeah.
Can I just say, with, you know, hearing Pete's voice, I think that voice of Pete in the background there is a reflection of what's going on for a lot of women. You know, there's a hesitation around really stepping into this, because we're concerned that the men will not, you know, like it, or they'll think we're inferior or whatever, but it's not actually the case. So that's what I,
yeah.
Now I'll be quiet. Speak, Anaya.
I was just going to say to the ladies listening, you know, we've been talking very much about us, the woman, being separated from the deep mystical side of life, you know, the interior feelings, the releasing of the blood, the swelling of the body. You know, we've all been running from that. But, and so have the men. The men have also been forbidden to enter that space. So the matrix or the patriarchal system is suggesting to the men, stay away from that space. But then, you know, we're coming in on a close second as women, saying, yes, stay away from this place. So they too, they too are being separated in their psyches from a natural, normal, it's always been there, it is here, it will never go away, aspect of life. And they are hungering, I believe, you know, they may not say so, but I believe there is a deep place inside of them that is hungering for that greater depth to living and intimacy and connection with the feminine. I mean, no other animal or creature has a problem with this. You know, when the horses and the dogs are in season, they're just walking around, you know, blood pouring from their back legs, no problem. In fact, not a problem at all. The men are excited and like, wow, you know, one of the mares is in season. Great. The rest of the animal kingdom are completely free to really embody what the Creator had in mind for them. And I don't know if any of you ladies heard just a moment ago, but Pete was saying, you know, just go for it. Just reveal all.
It's more like Pete.
He wants to come forward, sexy.
No, it's more like for the visionary that is the woman to step to her highest calling. And that in itself will encourage the right kind of man to step up with her or leave. Or she must leave him. Because not to make him less or more, just that his journey is different then, if he's not willing, ready, or able to step up. It's just his journey requires other guidance and other assistance. But for me, Anaya, not only herself stepping up into her true role, encourages me to step up into areas I didn't know I was. I have to examine who I am, and therefore rise in love rather than falling in love.
I'm smiling.
Oh, thank you so much for that, Peter. That was such a beautiful transmission you gave us
there. Yeah.
And
enjoy, lovely ladies. There's a beautiful men out there like him. They're all coming online now.
And every man has that in his heart and soul. He just needs reminding of it by someone he will listen to, whether that's his partner or another man.
Yeah. Yeah, and when we're talking here about the wisdom of our menstrual blood, then what just comes to me is that when we as women can honor our blood, then that makes it so much easier for men to be able to relate to our menstruation as well. Because I imagine, like you said, Anaya, otherwise men feel very cut off from what that's about and not even able to really appreciate, express their appreciation for, as you say it, Pete, the visionary quality that it actually evokes in women, that temple
Absolutely.
Space.
And we have to remember a very deep mystical truth. When they were little baby boys inside their own mother's womb, this quality of blood was enveloping them.
Yeah.
And I believe this kind of vision and this kind of energy will bring tremendous relief to that overstimulated masculine mind. From a mind that is on the computer 7 days a week. If you simply just present to him this kind of languaging, this kind of imagery, he would feel tremendous relief.
Because it's a calling into the body, really, for him as well.
A calling into a body, a place of deep comfort. A place of literally, like Yeshua, resurrection, rebirth, place of
beautiful.
Goodness.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. Anaya and Pete, thank you so much for this exquisite transmission from the both of you, seeing as Pete's joined us. I would love to have you spend a bit of time just sharing with the women, how they can find you and what you're offering. Maybe give your website and just a sense of what you're offering the world, which is quite a lot.
Well, thank you so much, Jackie. You can find us both on Facebook, Anaya Sophia and Pete Wilson. We also share the same website at the moment, which is my name, AnayaSophia.com, but I'm very sure in the future it's going to be a new name that literally umbrellas both of us. But we do something called Her Remembering, His Remembering, and Their Remembering. So it's woman's work, man's work, and couples, you know, going into that sacred marriage and that deeper dive into intimacy and all the hurdles and mind-generated doubts and fears that come up along the way. We're kind of twofold in nature. One of us is quite mystical. The other one is extremely grounded, And when you get to interact with us both, you get everything. The human part and the spiritual part. And that's what makes it work, you see, because there's a part that's so ordinary and day-to-day and totally got the finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world and what men and women are up against. And then the ego perspective, I guess, where you can just pull back from the problems and overlook from the height of the soul.
Beautiful. And Anaya, just as you're standing here at the end of your menstrual cycle, going into menopause, just the last request to, if there are a few things that you can suggest to women who are now really looking at their menstrual cycle with the desire to honor it and honor its wisdom, what would you recommend or suggest to women from this place where you're standing now?
I would say, beloved ladies, when you have your monthly bleed and you are brave enough and courageous enough to actually handle it and to offer it to the land with your sacred prayers, realize that you are being given every month an elixir to potentialize and amplify your monthly manifestations or transformations that you are working with. Every month you get given the opportunity to birth something fresh and new within yourself and around yourself. And you get given the elixir to cement that and to make it more potent. Please just understand that part about your own gorgeous body. It's not something to be thrown away and squealed against, but to be embraced and realize that this cycle and its bleeding it is a medicine to your own growth as a woman.
Anaya, thank you so much for that just exquisite offering, and Pete also for joining us. And so much blessings on your temple journey. I feel like I'm being taken into that myself just through the sharing with you. Gratitude for your generosity and sharing with us again.
Shakti, thank you so much for continuously inviting us into your beautiful, the work that you're doing. We really feel it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anaya. All right, everybody, that's it for now from us, and just wishing you all joy in the exploration of this deep wisdom and transmission that we received here from Anaya and Pete. Goodbye for now.